Thank you for your singing this evening, and thank you for your testimonies. Those are a blessing. It's encouraging to hear what the Lord's doing, and good reminders, too. Thank you for sharing. If you would open in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're nearing the end of the letter, the book. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of kind of casually talking to someone about their work. Maybe you ask about work. Some people, you know, work's work. They're thankful for what they have. Some people have a lot of interesting stories. They can tell you a lot about their work. I wonder if you've had an experience where you ask someone and you find out some serious difficulty that they're having, some thing that they're facing, and it ends up being a reminder to you or some insight into how to pray for them. Maybe you've had that experience. I believe what Paul does here near the end of Ephesians, starting in verse 21, is something very much like that. Though he does occasionally, if you read his other letters, send reports of what's going on in his ministry, wherever he is at the time. Here in Ephesians, we learn an important lesson that he's doing this for a particular reason. He's reporting on his circumstances so that the church would pray. And for this reason, the title of the sermon this evening will be An Aid to Prayer. Paul intends the ministry update that he sends by Tychicus to be an aid to the regular intercession of God's people on his behalf. And of course, as we consider this tonight, there's much application for us about prayer. We ought to pray. No doubt a reminder that we often falter in prayer, too. We're weak. Maybe you ever gotten to a situation or most of the way through some trial and realized, you know, I never really prayed about this. Or you're trying to find something or help someone and you get to the end, it's like, ah. Or you meet somebody again and you told them you would pray for them and you intended to, but you forgot to. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. Sometimes it's just because we don't have the perseverance that we need to. We don't have the kind of faith, the strength in our faith. Sometimes we get discouraged. We don't see an answer. But we must. We must pray for gospel workers in particular, I think is the very clear application for us tonight, because that's how God has ordained for his work to go forward, is certainly by the faithfulness of his people to open their mouths, but also the faithfulness of his people to pray. And the mercy for us in this passage, even as we see our own weakness, is that God does understand our weakness in prayer. And he gives us help in prayer. And for these helps, we ought to be thankful. And I believe Paul's ministry update here is one such help. So if you look, starting in verse 18, I believe this helps us set the context. The end of spiritual armor that we looked at a few weeks ago gives us a clear connection into his ministry update. With all prayer, God's word says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. But, Paul says, but that you may also know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. So with that little connection there, but praying at all times with all sorts of prayers, meeting every circumstance for all the saints and for me, so that I would open my mouth, but so that you would also know, Paul is sending an update to his partners in the ministry so that they can pray. And notice by this first word in verse 21, but, I believe Paul's making a concession. I think he acknowledges here several hindrances that we might have in prayer. And I think the first one we can pull from a few verses before, praying always. When we studied this, that is a tall task, isn't it? Praying always, but so that you may also know. I think Paul is acknowledging that that could be a challenge, that our weakness could be a hindrance to praying always. That's certainly what he requested, that they would always pray. And who of us, which of us, can pray always under our own strength? None of us can do that. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, to exercise our faith in that way. I believe that's part of the reason he uses this, however, that you may also know. I know I've requested that you pray always in all circumstances, and I know that you'll need help to watch in prayer, as you should, and as I need you to do on my behalf, but I know human weakness, Paul is saying. So I want you to be updated about what's going on with me so that you can pray. But when he says that you also may know, I think he's also acknowledging that ignorance could be a hindrance to prayer. Not just weakness, but ignorance. If you don't know what's going on, it could be a challenge to praying. And of course, Paul supposes that his request, pray always, really a command, praying at all times for all the saints and for me, that would be enough to get them to pray. It should be enough. But he also does want them to know specifics of what's going on for him in Rome. That's likely where he is. But that you also may know about my circumstances. Why does he want them to know? Well, because ignorance can make prayer challenging. And of course, it can't be an excuse. Well, that person isn't telling me what's going on, so I can't pray for them. Of course, we can't think that. We ought always to pray. We can always pray. But when we don't know what's going on with someone, particularly someone that we love and we're concerned for, either through, that might be our own negligence to go find out what's going on, or their lack of communication, or some providential limit to communication that God has given them or us, ignorance can be a hindrance to prayer if we let it be. And don't we understand this? It's difficult to pray for someone that you don't know, or that you don't know what's going on, someone you've never related to. But on the other hand, we could use it as an example. If we have a tender affection for someone that we do know very well, it's much easier to pray for them often, isn't it? Maybe you had a pastor or some missionary. Maybe you have a knowledge of because you went to their church for a time, or they stayed at your house when they were visiting, or they went to your church for a time, or you sat under their preaching and the Lord used their preaching in your heart, and there's just a special connection, and you think of them and you pray for them, and it's a very natural thing to do. So just as ignorance of what's going on can challenge us in prayer, so can being aware be an aid to prayer. It can help us pray. And do you know this just generally? Have you ever stopped praying for someone or something just because you didn't really know a lot about what was going on? You weren't relating, figuring out what was going on in their situation? But when you find out what's going on, you get some report from them. You realize they need prayer. You remember, oh yeah, I really need to pray for that person. That's an aid to prayer. And we ought to take it as such, a reminder, a help to pray. Certainly we ought to pray and never lose heart, like Jesus said, but we do, don't we? We lose heart. We forget. And if God sends us help in the form of some information so that we're no longer ignorant, let that be something that leads you to pray. I think that's a lesson for us here. That you may know, Paul says. But also, I believe he implies that discouragement could be a hindrance to prayer. What is one of the purposes of Tychicus's visit? That he may comfort your hearts or encourage your hearts. If we have time, we'll see how he writes nearly the same thing to the Colossians and uses the same word. It's just translated encourage. Why would they need encouragement here? Well, Paul's in prison, isn't he? And to those who support him, that might seem like his ministry is greatly hindered. I've said before, he calls himself an ambassador in chains. If some king sends an ambassador out and he's in chains, he doesn't seem like a very successful ambassador, does he? And these people who are supporting him, maybe financially, certainly through prayer, it could discourage them from praying. Or even more in a more damaging way. It could keep them from praying for God's kingdom, because it seems, not by faith, but it seems to the eye of man that he's severely limited. And often, by God's grace, isn't it true that when there is some persecution, like imprisonment, you see this in the book of Acts, you see it throughout church history, God does allow persecution to cause the great strengthening of his church. But that doesn't mean we ought not to pray. It is certainly by God's grace that that happens. And Paul here is intent on the people being encouraged. And again, we know this. We've experienced praying for someone to be saved, or praying for some provision or some change of circumstance or some maybe a breakthrough in some relationship, and it doesn't come. Or perhaps the person you're praying for, they really resist what you're trying to help them do. You might grow discouraged. And when we grow discouraged, don't we sometimes stop praying? Prayer just doesn't seem to be changing what we think needs to be changed, and so we stop praying about it. That's not really a biblical spirit of prayer, because God does not need oriented to our will. We need oriented to his will, like Jesus taught his disciples, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Sometimes we get frustrated about that and we get discouraged. And discouragement can be a hindrance to prayer. And Paul intends to encourage them so that they may pray. But as we consider hindrances to prayer that I think Paul acknowledges when he's telling them, he's sending them a report, I think we could call another hindrance to prayer apathy or disaffection. He wants them to know what he is doing. Do you see that? "But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing or what I am doing. He will make everything known to you," Tychicus will, "so that you may know about us," so that you may know. What's going on? I believe Paul's acknowledging the possibility of disillusionment. Maybe if they don't know, their love will kind of cool towards Paul. Not that he's fearful of that, but if he is not relating to them in love, maybe there's no love there. What Paul is doing is an action of love to let them know, because apathy can be a hindrance to prayer. And Paul knows that this process of moving away, drifting among God's people, losing interest in one another and in what God's doing, that is always going to have a devastating effect on the prayer of people in churches. So he's giving them information. He wants them to know what's going on. So he tells them. He relates to them. So as he sends this missionary update, I think we could call it that, I believe he acknowledges right at the front several hindrances to prayer. And he wants his people that he has ministered to pray. But then he acknowledges his situation and their concern for him. "But that you also may know my circumstances, how I am doing." He's called it imprisonment several times in the letter. He's an ambassador in bonds, we read. He calls it tribulation in another place. This is a result of when he went to Jerusalem and he was caught by the mob and beaten, and then he was rescued and he preached to the people and they set away with him. And then there's this whole drawn out process of him being put on trial in several places and then sent to Rome. It dominates the book of Acts. He's likely writing from Rome at this point. And these people need encouraged. He acknowledges their concern. He's already encouraged them not to lose heart at his tribulation, he wrote in another place. But he's acknowledging this to them. And he reveals his desire. "But that you also may know about my circumstances." What is he going to do about that? Well, he desires their prayer. We've seen that. And this certainly gives us insight into how important Paul found prayer to be. He says often, "Brethren, pray for us." If you read his letters, you see him praying for the churches. "I pray that God would do this. I pray that you would see this about God." He knows the importance of prayer to his ministry. But like I mentioned, he desires their involvement in his life and ministry. What is Tychicus going to do? Literally it reads, "All will make known to you." He wants them to know what's going on with him because he loves them. Isn't this what we do when we love someone? We want them to know what's going on. We communicate with one another. But he also wants them to know what's going on with him because he still has a wonderful ministry, even while he's imprisoned. Because even though he is chained, the gospel will never be bound, is what he writes somewhere else. He's not hiding what's going on. He's not neglecting God's people. He's relating to them. He's sharing with them what's going on so that they can share with him by praying. And that is the desire of a faithful minister of the gospel, is that God's people would be involved with him by prayer and that they would know what's going on so that they can partner with him in the ministry. That's what Paul is doing. He's sending an update to partners in the ministry. It's not just observers or consumers that Paul has written to in this letter, though they may have been tempted to think that way. He wants them to be partners, and he wants them to be involved by prayer. They're not just spectators. They're not just objects of his ministry, but partners. He desires their involvement. And again, he desires their comfort. And we would say, it would sound very much like bad news if a missionary was imprisoned. That would be a shock to us. And when bad things happen, we don't always think right away, do we? Often it takes us some time to get there. And I believe part of what Paul is doing by sending Tychicus is to send them help to think by faith about his circumstances, what God's purpose is in this trial. And isn't it true for us, too, that sometimes when we do come to think in a right way, a godly way, about some tragedy that God has sent us, some trial that he's sending his people, if we do come to think about it by faith, doesn't it often come with help? Doesn't someone often help you with that? You're talking about it and they mention something and it's like, you know, that's right. I'm not thinking about it that way, but I needed help. That's what Paul's intent here is in sending for comfort of their hearts. And that's a gift too, isn't it? To have a brother or a sister or a missionary like Paul or a pastor who is looking out for your way of thinking, to help you think right in trials. That's a gift, and that's an aid to prayer. When you hear about them and how it's going with them, that's a help to you in prayer. So, of course, in all this, we're reminded that we ought to pray for God's work. And I think we should ask ourselves, do we? Do you? Do you pray for God's work? Do you pray for ministers of the gospel? Do you pray? And I think we can get this specific, because we've had several reminders of this in the last month, even today. Do we use the prayer guide? Do we pray for our missionaries who are relating to us, maybe through the book? We don't get to see them all the time. I know I've been challenged to consider this, consider these questions. But if we ought to pray for God's work, are you committed to praying with God's people for God's people? We even heard this morning about prayer meeting, often on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. We are praying for missionaries, even Sunday morning. Are you committed to that? And it's important that we do. It is a marvel, isn't it, that God chooses to work by the prayer of his people. That should humble us, but should also spur us to obedience, because God has commanded us to pray. So have you taken, as a timely reminder, any aid to prayer that God has given you, actually to then put feet to that and to go pray for that person, that situation? May the Lord help us to do that, because God does often send us reminders like this. So an update on the state of ministry with Paul. That's to be an aid to the prayer of God's people. And we ought to value these updates because they're reminders to us. They're helps to us. But Paul also, notice, sends this update through a trustworthy representative. Who is it being sent with? Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Tychicus he's listed in Acts as the Asian, with Tychicus and Trophimus are listed as the two Asians among Paul's company. That's not as we think of that term. That's a region of the Roman Empire. And Trophimus is later called an Ephesian, so perhaps Tychicus was an Ephesian. That's why Paul was sending him to the church at Ephesus. And he appears several other times as a trustworthy representative. Paul is considering sending Tychicus to replace Timothy for a time. He's an option, likewise, to do the same for Titus. But he's a beloved brother. Paul counts him as his spiritual family. That's a wonderful truth that we have from Scripture. When we're in Christ, we have family. We use that language often because it's biblical. Beloved brother. But it's even more than just this family connection in Christ. It's also spiritual loved ones. He's not just a brother, but a beloved brother. And Paul himself uses this often towards churches that he has labored for. My beloved brethren. They're not just his family in Christ, in God's family, but he's also labored on their behalf, and he loves them deeply. This is perhaps the kind of relationship that he had with Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful servant of the Lord. This word, actually, minister, is actually diakonos, deacon. He's a minister. He's a deacon, a servant, a worker for God, a person who attends to the things of God and to the people of God. This is what Tychicus was known for. This is a person who serves God and who does his will so consistently that this person becomes notable for it. And among God's people, and most importantly in God's sight, he's a faithful minister. Jesus taught about this. The greatest, what must they do? They must serve. What do we strive for? Hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. Could this be said of us? Of course, we don't have to have a position to serve. We're all servants if we know Christ. But do you serve? Are you a trustworthy servant like the one Paul sends to this church, Tychicus? This is, isn't it, one of the qualities that the Holy Spirit produces in us? Love, joy, peace, faithfulness. Tychicus was a faithful servant. Praise the Lord if that's your testimony. Something we should certainly strive for. A trustworthy representative, and any partner in the ministry, really, that's to be valued. And as we become reacquainted with these and with their ministries, that also is an aid to prayer when we have face-to-face contact. Because we're reminded of their challenges, their situation, and we ought to pray for them. But finally, notice in verse 22, Paul sends this update in love for the good of the church. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. And Paul demonstrates some considerable personal interest in this visit. Tychicus, whom I sent to you, is how he says it. Paul is the one who chose and sent Tychicus. And he's not just sending him as a mail carrier, but as a messenger. Because remember, this is in a letter. Paul has written this whole letter that we've studied. And Tychicus is carrying this letter, but he's not just the mailman delivering Paul's letter. He's also coming to minister to them. Paul is interested in seeing how they're doing and in seeing that they're doing well spiritually. You remember what Paul said to Barnabas before they set out on another missionary trip. Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. This is the kind of mission that he's sending Tychicus on. A mission of care and concern. He has personal interest here. And you see his goal for the visit, for this very purpose. A ministry team update so that the church would be informed, and spiritual encouragement so that you may know, he's informing them because he loves them, wants them involved, like we mentioned, about us. Time fails us, but us could be as many as Tychicus and Timothy and Onesimus and Epaphras and John Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke and Justus, all people who are said to have had some time with him in Rome at various times. It's likely Tychicus and Onesimus carrying this letter. Maybe Onesimus stopped at Colossae, where he was from, carrying this letter in Colossians and Philemon. But there are a number of men who have accompanied Paul or who came to him in Rome, while who he's still able to train and to minister to, even in his imprisonment. And they were his co-workers in the ministry. They were a great encouragement to him. Us, so that you may know about us, he says. So you would be informed. And so that he may comfort your hearts. Encourage your hearts is how the exact same phrase is translated in Colossians. The word is comfort, encourage, exhort even is how it's translated sometimes. Urge. And Paul often does this. He's an exhorter. I encourage you, brethren. I exhort you, brethren. But it's with heart here. It's comfort your hearts. And what did Paul do when he wanted to encourage a church, when he was ministering to a church? He didn't just comfort them, and certainly he listened and related to them on a personal level, but didn't he minister the word to them to comfort them? That's what he does in Acts 15 when he's extending the word, the sermon late into the night, and his name is failing me at the moment. He falls out of the window and he's picked up dead, and Paul goes and says his life is still in him, and they're not a little bit comforted when they take him away, certainly because he was alive, but Paul was encouraging them. He was ministering the word to them. And Tychicus had witnessed this. He had been with Paul. It's recorded in Acts chapter 20 that Tychicus was with Paul when he's doing this and ministering the word to the brethren, encouraging them, strengthening them in the Lord. And that's what he knew Paul to do, to linger with them, ministering the word, speaking the word to them. So what Tychicus is sent to do is what he often had seen Paul do, but it's also what God does. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace," comfort, that's the word, "and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." This is a godly thing that Tychicus is going to do, to relate to the people on behalf of Paul as a trustworthy representative and update them so that they may pray. So, a ministry update sent to a praying church is an act of love for the good of the church, and we ought to take it as such and take it as an aid to our prayer for that person, for that ministry. But there's also a reminder here as Paul sends Tychicus to comfort the hearts of this church, that there's comfort in the ministry of the word, isn't there? We're called to comfort and encourage one another. And what better way is there to do that than to minister the word to each other, whether through text message or a phone call or by reading the word together or reading good books together? Ministering the word to one another. This is a tool of comfort that we have to help one another in our walk with the Lord. So, have you had any reminder to pray recently? I think we've actually had several today. Have you taken it as an aid to prayer? Have you thanked the Lord even for the reminder? Yes, I need to pray. Lord, help me to pray. Have you responded to it? And just to end on a note of encouragement, because I think anytime we think about, yes, I need to pray more, it can be discouraging because we are weak. What does Romans chapter 8 say? "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So even as we feel our weakness and we know that we need help to pray, we have help to pray, don't we? God's given us his Spirit who helps us pray, and an intercessor who knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and he prays according to the will of God. May we depend on the Lord to help, for help to pray as we should, because we ought to pray. We ought to pray for our missionaries. We ought to pray for one another with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, being on the alert so that we can stand together in spiritual warfare for the glory of the Lord. May the Lord help us, and may we look to him for help to do this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, and even as we see how you've communicated it to us through this letter. And we come to the end and see a very personal interaction between Paul and the church. We get insight into their concern and to his way of relating to them in love and how he's trying to help them to pray for him. I pray that you would teach us to pray and teach us to take any reminder to pray as an opportunity to come back to you and to depend on you, because, Lord, we need to depend on you more. We need to pray more. We ask that you would help us to do it. We thank you that you've given us the Spirit who knows how to pray. And we have an intercessor in Jesus Christ who knows the mind of the Spirit and prays according to your will. I pray that you would teach us to pray according to your will. Help us to do your will this week. We pray it in Christ's name.